she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my pennies.
All right, 105.3 The Fan. Saturday Morning Test Drive. Wally Lynn in for Sybil Summers today with David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard.
Good morning.
How you guys doing?
Great. Happy New Year.
You're a feisty crowd this morning when you guys came in here.
We're feisty.
You are feisty.
It's Saturday. It's the end of the year. The last day of the year.
It is. 2011. Thank goodness this year's over.
Is that crazy?
You think?
Thank goodness 2011 is coming to an end. Which means we'll wake up tomorrow to 2012. David, if the world ends in 2012, how does that affect the value of my car?
I think right now it probably doesn't, but right after the end of the world, it will probably go down precipitously.
Really?
I'm thinking. Yeah.
So are you thinking sell now?
I would certainly try to divest myself of it and just walk for the remainder of the whatever's
okay.
left.
All right, I got it. Well, happy holidays to everybody. And,
yeah, that's a cheerful.
Happy New Year's. Yeah. That's how we're going to cheer you up for 2012. Just remind you that, you know, about March, you're done. Right? Happy holidays. The first tomorrow. What are you guys doing tonight?
Party.
Are you?
Going to a party.
Driving?
I'm the designated driver.
Okay.
Friend's good. House.
Yeah.
Friend's house. Quiet.
Okay. Yeah.
Kind of a, you know,
smaller
just a
gathering.
Get together.
Ray Wiley that's Hubbard for me.
Do. Yeah, I know. That's great. I wish I was going with you.
Yeah.
That's going to be an awesome show.
All right. January 1st tomorrow. Holidays coming to a close. Let's talk about holiday driving for just a second.
I've got a story.
Oh, you got a story?
Yeah. I'm at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to find a parking space. And there's a lady backing out about three or four spaces from the store. It was just right there. So I stopped. I turned on my turn signal.
Oh, no.
As she backed out,
here we go.
Someone, another lady from the other side was coming in a van, and she dove into this parking spot and took it while I was sitting there with my blinker on, as I should do, politely waiting for
it. Did you say something to her?
I said very clearly with my lips, Merry Christmas. I wanted to make sure she could read my lips.
Merry Christmas.
See, I think drivers around the holidays are more rude. Because they don't... The big one for my son, Tammy, is nobody puts their lane change indicator on. They don't signal.
No.
They just weave.
They're all
traffic.
Out of blinker fluid is why.
That's what it is.
They ran blinker low on fluid. Blinker fluid. There's a leak in the blinker fluid.
But I
reservoir.
Think people are more stressed because yes. they're shopping and stuff like that.
Well, there are more people out there on the road. You have to think people are on vacation. They're not at work, but then they're going out shopping and trying to get everything crazy done. And when you go to these stores, the parking lots are full, which we're not quite accustomed to. Usually you can kind of cruise around and get something fairly close, and then when you can't find any parking spots at all, it gets a little competitive.
Yeah, the other one that's weird is because the parking lots are so full, you know, because everybody's shopping,
mm-hmm.
you have that decision to make of whether to park way away or do the slow crawl through the parking spaces to try to figure out if somebody's going to leave.
Listen, right now. Let me tell you the trick. Everybody needs to realize this. Park as far away from the high traffic as you possibly can so you can get out. This is what I do at Costco. I don't try to cruise around at Costco and get up something close because then you're trapped in the madness of the people doing
people
the slow
and
crawl
walk coming
through.
In, yeah.
Yes. So
and
I park
walking.
Way out with my basket. That way I just push my basket out of the madness. And then I also don't have four people waiting for my spot because they do. They sit there and watch you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little competition. Sometimes it's interesting just to see who wins.
All right. Let me give the phone number if you have questions about cars and stuff. We've got a lot of topics that we're going to get to today. 877-881-1053. Fan text 43733. We're going to talk about Ford, the year in review of what the whole year was like for the automotive industry. All sorts of stuff. Kim Jong-il's last ride.
Yeah. Is that great?
We'll tell you about that later.
I mean, we're not laughing at that.
Yeah. But first, let's talk about hands.
We could be.
Let's talk about hands-free devices here and what's going on with the Transportation Secretary, Ray LaHood, because he's apparently not in line with the NTSB, right?
No, and it's really pretty interesting because NTSB Chairman Deborah Hirschman came out last week and said all handheld devices should be banned. All telephone communications to a car should be banned, whether it's wireless, hand-free, nothing should be banned while the car's rolling.
Wait a minute. hands-free that you want to ban that you can't talk?
Yeah.
Even if you've got a...
That's from the NTSB.
That's crazy.
Well, no, not completely. How many times have you missed the exit while you were talking on the phone to somebody?
Well, then you shouldn't be able to listen to the radio.
That's right.
It's not the
same.
How
many times have
it's
you missed an exit because you were listening to the radio?
Listening
or talking
to
your kids in the back seat.
Yeah. It's not the same.
So LaHood is saying, no, thank you.
Well, and it's sort of interesting, too, because the NTSB came out and said, no talking, period, hands-free or otherwise. Hood, who is the chairman of the United States Transportation, or his secretary of the United States Transportation Agency, said, well, really, the hands-free is probably okay. You got to remember that our government owns 30% of General Motors, and General Motors sells a lot of cars through OnStar and their hands-free communication. So it would be a little counterproductory if he came out and said,
I think you made it up. It's good.
It would be a little counterproductive if he came out and said you couldn't use hands-free to communicate, because then he's squashing GM selling cars, which isn't smart, because we're trying to get paid back right now for all of the money we gave.
And guess what else? They're not going to get rid of hands-free.
No.
It's not going away.
So
now
I can't do that.
I think the biggest issue is they need to figure out how to manage the whole mess. If they're going to make it illegal, or maybe they just make the punishments more more stringent, if that's the right word I'm looking for, when you do have an accident when you were on the phone. You know, open it up and say, okay, it's illegal. We can't really enforce this very well with our police department unless we do kind of one of those no refusal weekends, kind of like the drinking that we're going
we'll
to do this weekend,
second.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's hard for them to enforce it, but instead make it okay, it's against the law, but it's when you get into an accident, that's when we're going to automatically be able to have a warrant to look at your phone record for that 30 minutes surrounding your accident to see what you were doing on your phone. That's
I think
would be a good idea.
And that's really hard to do right now. It's very hard for law enforcement agencies to get copies of people's cell phone bills, their texting history from the communications companies. There's a lot of question about whether it's a violation of someone's privacy, whether it might be self-incriminating, so the Fifth Amendment might protect them. But here's what happens when you have a law that says you can't talk on a handheld cell phone, you can't text. In California this weekend, the California Highway Patrol has got a 24-hour crackdown on drivers using cell phones and drivers texting while driving.
What are they doing?
It's been against the law there for a couple of years. In fact, they passed a law against using a handheld wireless cell phone while operating a motor vehicle, from using a wireless device to write, send, or read text-based communications, so you can't use your iPad either. And also, a law prohibiting drivers under the age of 18 from using a wireless telephone or a hands-free device while operating the car at all. So that's been against the law, and they have written 500,000 cell phone tickets since 2008.
But people still do it. I was in the car with somebody who got on their phone in California, regardless.
And that's the rub.
She knew it was illegal. She just did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And she had recently gotten a ticket for it. So what they're going to do is put plainclothes
police
officers.
On a street corner?
On street corners. Watching people.
What city? Sacramento,
Sacramento,
right?
Yeah. So, and they're going to try to get some statistics.
That's crazy.
As to how many people are still doing it. It's really hard to get people to stop.
They're going to take notes about what they're doing exactly, too. Mm-hmm. They're going to be looking in the window so that they can try to get an idea of what needs to be controlled. But the bottom line is, you can't control that any more than the whole drinking or driving under the influence. You just have to punish the people when they cause an... I mean, it's not until you get caught that you get punished for that. There's lots of people that drink and drive and never get caught.
And there are a lot of odd things that go on in that country, California.
Yeah. Well, and what they need is they need another study.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all they need, right? Hey, I got a question for you guys. With all these cars that have this technology now where you can get Facebook and do this, and, you know, I think Ford has a couple of cars out now where you can access, get on the internet and all that kind of stuff. That's got to be something that is frowned upon also in terms of taking your attention from the road.
It is.
Right?
Your mind is not concentrating on the task at hand if you are messing around with these other features.
And that is something that the National Highway Safety and Traffic Administration does have a problem with, is the Facebooking and the texting and that type of thing while driving, even if it is. That he doesn't mind the hands-free on the telephone, but anything that's going to take your eyes off the road clearly are distractions, or keep both hands off the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a distraction. Of course, smoking in one hand and holding a cup of coffee in the other might be a distraction.
Yeah,
also.
That might be a little difficult as
so
well.
So what do you guys think? All of our listeners, why don't you pull over before you do the texting, please. Don't do it while you're driving. Or
good
maybe
call,
you're
Tammy.
Just sitting at
good
home
call.
In the recliner and you have the radio tuned to 105.3 The Fan this morning. But what are your thoughts about this? You know, give us your thoughts. What is the most dangerous, and would it make any difference to you
and
if it were illegal?
It'd be good to hear if somebody has a story about whether they were in an accident with somebody that tried to hide the fact that they were texting or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I have heard more stories from clients that trade in cars. You know, well, this is the third time I've been hit by somebody on a phone, so I'm going to get rid of this car. I feel like it's bad luck.
You know, we had the chief of police from Richardson, Chief Spivey, on with us a few weeks ago. His car was hit in the parking lot by a texter who lost control of the car, jumped the curb, flew through the air, and smashed into his car while it was in the parking lot at the police department.
That's a person that you don't want to hit as the police chief.
Here's the other thing. She jumped out of the car and goes, "Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I was texting. I didn't know what happened."
Well, you know, some girl put...
not much question
someone
there.
Put their car through a poor convenience store. This guy's going to lose tons of money this weekend selling his liquor and snacks because somebody drove through the front of his store.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I
texting.
Guess... Apparently,
I'll go buy something.
I think she says she wasn't, but come on. How do you go?
Are they closed completely?
Well, the whole front end's knocked off the store.
It's the whole front. You can't.
I'll go buy something.
It's not good.
Okay. That's nice of you.
Here we go. This weekend, it is a no refusal weekend
in
Dallas.
Let's talk about that next because we got to do a little business. Fantex 43733. That's the Fantex number. And the phone number 877-881-1053. Wally Lynn in for Sybil on the Saturday morning test drive.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
It is 9:15. Wally Lynn in for Sybil today. The phone number 877-881-1053 if you want to tell a tech story. We've got some good ones here about accidents and Richardson police and running into the chief of police and all sorts of stuff. If you've got a story, call us 877-881-1053.
And I do need to mention, if you need to call Autoflex, it's pretty easy. You can call us at either 817 or 972-234-1234. Last day of the year, last day to get some really, really super, super deals on new cars and on pre-owned cars. And if you wanted to see the pre-owned cars, autoflex.com. And you can also follow along with the stories that we're doing on the air at autoflex.com.
I've got a question. I'm raising my hand in the studio. Before we get to No Refusal Weekend, is there any reason to buy a car today and have it in a calendar year versus the following year?
Lots.
A couple of reasons. Well,
go ahead.
More than a couple. Well, one of them is your trade-in becomes a year older after today.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever your trade was, it's now worth a little bit less because it's a little bit older.
If you're driving an 08, it's a 3-year-old car right now. On Monday, it's a 4-year-old car.
I got it.
That changes financing abilities, you know, the terms that you can finance, the rates, et cetera, the older the car is for the next person that's buying it.
Right.
So that changes the value going in because it's going to affect the value or the cost of the vehicle to the next buyer.
Well, there you go.
And there's a lot of people that are in tax situations where if they get a car today, they can take a big deduction in 2011. So it allows them to keep their money all the way to the end, but then, in fact, get a big deduction for 2011. So you just have to check with your own personal situation, maybe your tax advisor. The other thing is there are tremendous incentives right now. Mm-hmm. All of the manufacturers have got big money back on their cars, and it's going away.
And
they're doing it trying to push cars at the very end of the year.
Well, that's true. On all of the new cars, we have some incredible deals. If you're interested in something along the lines of Infiniti or Lexus or even the lower, not necessarily Highline, but Toyotas and Fords with good rebates, we can combine those great rebates with our lease programs, and you've got a winning situation. The other thing is the banks right now are offering still really low rates.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the shortage of used cars is going to keep going. There's a story that we'll get to a little bit later on, but we're still 6 million cars a year behind our sales that we used to have 5 years ago.
Really?
Six million
cars a year.
Yep.
Wow.
And so that means that the used car market in the future is going to stay the same, short supplies.
Right.
If you don't build them, they're not there when they're used.
Mm-hmm.
So as that's going to keep going forward into this next year, why would you wait until it gets even worse? So that, if you're interested in buying a used car, buy it now before, believe it or not, those cars are going to keep going up in value. So get a deal while you can.
Let's talk about No Refusal Weekend, which begins at 6 p.m. tonight. Now, this is a Dallas thing, right?
It is, yes.
Okay.
And what it means is that if you get stopped and they suspect that you've been drinking, you can't refuse to either take a breathalyzer, or if you do, they're going to give you a blood test right there on the spot. They'll have people riding with them that are authorized to take blood, mm-hmm. and they'll have a warrant. They'll get a warrant over the radio, mm-hmm. which will allow them to take your blood. So there's no way around the fact that if you're driving and drinking and they pull you over, they got you.
You can't say, heck no, I won't blow.
So if I see somebody in a parking lot that's got a tourniquet around their arm and they're trying to run away from somebody, that's what's going on?
That's what's going on.
You know, I mean, is that really, obviously it's legal, but is that a violation of your constitutional rights?
You know, it's been ruled both ways. It's several different jurisdictions, and traffic laws are state-based. So in some states, they have said that it is illegal. And in Texas, obviously it's not because they're doing it.
Because we will kill you quick in Texas.
Yes.
Raise your hand if you would like to get hit by a drunk driver.
Yeah, good point. Now, here's the other thing.
Go ahead.
Well,
you know,
I think as we get older, a lot of people our age, you know, pretty much don't like to go out.
Not after midnight. Nothing good happens after midnight.
No.
That's when the boogeyman's out.
That's right. I don't know when that age hits where you decide, you know, I'm just not going out anymore. I don't know when that hits.
I don't know if it's an age or when you finally realize you've got something to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you just may get too old to do that. But
okay, David, this is Dallas proper only,
yes,
right?
Yes.
City of Dallas.
City of Dallas.
Okay, all right.
And I don't know about any suburbs, but I do know about this. And everyone, pull over before you start writing this down. But if you're in that position, if you're at a party tonight and you realize that you do not want to drive your car home, AAA has their Tipsy Tow service going this evening, and it's really easy. Here's how it works. You dial 1-800-AAA-HELP. That's 1-800-222-4357, and they will send a wrecker to pick up your car, and they will take you home, and it is absolutely free within 10 miles of your home.
Within 10 miles.
Within 10 miles
of your home.
Yep.
But you should
that
have some
really
tip money.
That is really cool of AAA.
You should have some
that.
Tip money for whoever gets your butt home.
Absolutely.
You know, how do you figure out if you're AAA, how do you put numbers on how many tow trucks you think you're going to need for something like
I don't
that.
Know. I would assume the AAA doesn't own probably a lot of tow trucks. What they do is they contract
with these companies.
So 1-800-222-4357, 1-800-AAA-HELP, Tipsy Tow. So if you're in that position this evening, don't take a chance. DUIs are terribly expensive. Take the chance to ride with a wrecker.
We just received a text that says the blood, breath, alcohol levels will not be done at the scene of the traffic stop. It will be done at Lou Sterrett Jail. So they're going to take you on down there.
So you're done anyway.
So if there's suspicion and they pull you over, I guess you have
to. They're taking you down to the jail and do it there. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess you got to flunk the field sobriety test first.
Well,
and then
say
they'll
no.
haul you down to Lou Sterrett.
Or say no.
Just
if
so you're
you
not
say
gonna
no,
take it,
yeah.
then they still take you down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
You can't beat the ride. I guess.
No, I guess
you can't beat the
ride.
See, another reason just to stay home.
And
tonight.
Another reason not to text and drive because you know how we all become terrible drivers when we are doing something else. We start slowing down too much. We start crowding the lane next to us, et cetera. So be a very good driver this weekend if you don't want to make a trip in Dallas.
Well, and I talked to a friend last week who actually got a DUI this last year, and she said, I really wasn't terribly
intoxicated
right.
but I was texting and I ran into the back of the car in front of me, and when they pulled me over they said, had you been drinking? And she said yes, and they said blow here, and it was all over.
Yeah. And
she was texting, she was
right on the line or something.
She was slightly over. It didn't matter. She was over.
Yeah, didn't matter.
Know? Don't text
See,
and drive.
She had just enough to help her make a very poor decision about texting while driving.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we all make such great decisions when we're inebriated.
Of course. Fantext 43733 if you want to join the conversation via text, 877-881-1053. All right, let's get to this story real quick, David, because we were discussing the Chevy recall of the Sonic. And if you can tell people kind of what the problem is with the Sonic, because this one is...
Well, it's not every Sonic. It's
I know,
just
but
a,
it's a recall of all the cars, right?
It's a small number of Sonics that may or... may not have been built with brake pads. in the brake system.
What?
Well,
they built the car without brake pads.
All right, it comes as a sub assembly that they install, right? Mm-hmm. Because everybody is manufacturing certain parts of a car in different areas. You know, Thailand makes something, and then they ship it over, and the Japanese put it in their Hondas, et cetera. So you contract with these companies that are in other places. Well, South Korea makes this sub assembly for the brake system, right, David?
Yeah, for the Sonics. They make the sub-assembly for the actual brake pad and caliper assembly that closes up on the brakes mm-hmm. and stops the car.
And it comes assembled and it's in a box.
Is this some kind of attack by South Korea that they're trying to accomplish something over here and pull a fast one on us?
So here's what happens. They put them in a box, one assembly per box. They ship the box over here. Our assembly workers take them out of the box, put them on the car. The car rolls down the assembly line. You drive away.
Wait, mm-hmm. our assembly workers are union?
Yeah,
members?
Okay. We'll get to that later. Okay. Anyway.
You guys love unions. It all
seems,
three of us, right?
It seems that in that assembly in the box, it's possible for one or both of the brake pads to fall out of the calipers. And then they just end up laying in the bottom of the box. And while the assembly workers are grabbing them and slapping them on, they don't notice that the brake pads aren't there. So as far as they can figure, there's about 4,296 Chevrolet Sonic subcompact models that may or may not have all their brake pads.
Mm-hmm. And now, they discovered this when one came in for warranty repairs.
And the guy goes,
hey,
this ain't got no brake pads. I did like the way that Chevrolet explained the missing brake pads. It says the missing part could lengthen the stopping distance, potentially contributing to a crash.
Potentially.
Do you think if it didn't have brake pads, that'd be an issue?
You would think so.
I'm just thinking.
Anyway,
call Fred Flintstone to help you stop that car.
Now, here's the other thing. It may just be one pad. It could be both pads. It won't be all the way around. So the cars still stop, but you might not stop quite as quick as you wanted to. There is going to be a recall on these. If you're driving a Sonic that is affected, you'll be receiving a notification from your local Chevrolet dealer to bring it in, and they'll slap some brake pads on you. And also, the sub-assembly now has a special clip that holds all the brake pads in place mm-hmm. until they actually have them on the car. They work better on the car than they do in the bottom of the box.
Great planning there. Anyway, so that was a combination of South Korea and Michigan.
There you go. 817-972-2341-234. That's how you get to AutoFlex, either 817 or 972-234-1234. You can also read these stories at AutoFlex.com if you want to check them out. Text us at 43733. Coming up next, the 2011 Auto Year in Review. Who did good? What's Ford up to? We'll talk about all that next here on the Saturday Morning Test Drive.
AutoFlex, please, oh yeah. Damn this traffic jam.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
This traffic jam. Now I get home myself.
Wally Land for Sybil. David and Tammy here, as they are every week. The phone number, 877-881-1053. Fantex 43733. Damien in Arlington, you're on the Saturday Morning Test Drive.
Hello?
Damien?
Good morning.
Oh, Damien gave up.
What do you want to talk about?
Okay, Damien had a question on a Chevrolet Tahoe fog light defect, and here's what he's talking about. This is the second or third time we've had callers call about this. You'll see Chevrolet Tahoes and one of the daytime running lights will not be functioning. I don't know why. It's not both of the daytime running lights. It's just one of them ever so often. You notice that, like, you'll see a Tahoe and it'll only have one daytime running light on. Mm-hmm. I've looked online. I've checked around. There's not a recall on them. So I don't really know, other than if it's in warranty, take it back to the dealer. Mm-hmm. He'll fix it.
Speaking of running lights and stuff, let me ask you this. There are two little lights above your back license plate. Two little tiny bulbs.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I've met some people recently where if one of those bulbs goes out, you will get pulled over. That's something some police will do to try to check on you. So
you know,
I would tell people to check those bulbs.
We have a number of police officers that listen to the show regularly and text mm-hmm. in to us. So I'm sure that one of them would be kind enough to text us how the police look at having one of those bulbs out. So you've still got some light back there, mm-hmm. but it's not, because I know if it's completely dark, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Right.
Yeah.
They have to be able to see the license plate.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, 2011, the year in review. David, let's talk a little bit about just overall, what kind of year was it for the auto industry?
Well, you know,
tumultuous,
you know,
that's my Yeah. My adjective is tumultuous.
You know, it's according to what you're referencing, because if you're talking about raw numbers, we sold more cars in 2011 than we did in 2010. Mm-hmm. We sold a lot more cars. So it was a good year for car sales. We're not near to where we were in 2007. We're still, as Tammy said, millions of cars a year behind where we were then.
6 million, did you say earlier?
6 million down, right. Yeah. But it is coming back, and they're expecting maybe 13 million cars this year. They'd pegged it sort of between 11 and 12, but now they're thinking maybe 13 million this year. So Total new cars sold in the United States.
In the U.S.
Right.
Yep. Ford supposedly did about 2 million of those cars.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ford has, they sold 2 million cars this year. First year since 2007 that they sold 2 million cars.
That's a big thing for Ford because, okay, if you got 13 million total cars sold,
it gives them 15% of the market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good, so Ford's kicking it. Pretty good, right?
Yeah, they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, they've got a pretty good market share.
I think the first thing that most people will remember about 2011 is the earthquake in Japan.
Right.
Because it was so, it affected the automotive business and a lot of other businesses so dramatically because so many parts and so many cars were assembled in that area of Japan. And the tidal waves that came in after, or the tsunamis that came in after the earthquake, pretty well crippled the ports that all of those cars were shipped through. So even if the car manufacturing place wasn't shut down, they still couldn't ship them out because
there was debris. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right. They couldn't get them onto ships because the ships were all on the land, basically.
That was March 11th, the worst earthquake in a century.
Yeah.
More than a century.
So, anyway, it was a very, very dramatic change for the business. In April, the Society of Automotive Engineers all got together and decided that for the next 15 years or so, we'd all still be driving internal combustion engines. Gasoline and diesel would be the way that
it would always
pushes most of our cars around.
Stay right. As the dominant powertrain?
Yeah, for the next 15 years. In May, the National Highway and Traffic and Safety Administration announced that deaths fell to 32,788.
Highway deaths.
Well, yeah. Lowest number of fatalities on the road since 1949.
Which is amazing since we have more people, but I will definitely credit that to safer cars.
And airbags and,
Let that number set in for just a second, though, because I've never, you know, the raw numbers that 32,000 people die on the road a year.
Yeah, but that number got up to...
And that number's low.
Oh, it is, because it had gotten to 75,000.
75,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's way down. You know, I don't remember. That's the highest I remember, like 75,010.
But making seatbelts mandatory and then adding all of these additional safety features to cars, things like that can help control your braking and your traction control, and then the airbags, I think, are probably, I'll bet you that's helped people survive crashes by better than 50%.
Sure.
Yeah.
Of any other safety feature. That's just my...
Well,
yes.
And like you say, the skid control is huge, huge, because it keeps you from having a wreck sometimes.
Right.
Yeah. Honda announced in the spring that they were going to spend $800 million to develop a new vehicle and engine plant in Mexico, which will produce 200,000 units a year by the year 2014. Everyone needs to listen to that again. Honda is spending $800 million where?
In Mexico.
Why?
To produce 200,000 units annually beginning
it's
in
cheaper.
2014.
Labor. It's cheaper.
But you know
labor's
what?
The labor's cheaper, the materials are cheaper, and more cars will be built in Mexico if it continues to be more expensive to build them here.
Well, they already have one plant there.
They do have. And Volkswagen's been building cars down there for years, so has Toyota, so has Nissan. Mm-hmm. So you have to be mindful of what you do with your industry, because there are always industries in other areas that are competing for that business.
The growth is not going to be put, they're not going to build the plants where the unions are.
So who's left just building cars in America? Who's left?
Oh, nobody.
Nobody. No, they all have
nobody just builds
stuff all over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But a lot of what we consider to be overseas cars are now built here.
Right.
In fact, BMW is the largest exporter of cars in North America.
Mm-hmm.
They build a lot of cars here that they ship to Europe.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Oh, and to
Japan.
Which
is another whole
I think everybody thinks they all come from Germany.
No. You know? No, they huge, huge plants in Alabama, South Carolina, North Carolina,
and South Africa,
Tennessee,
Germany,
yeah. South Africa, Germany. Yeah, exactly.
But this all ties in to, we'll get to that later if we have time, about the union in Germany. But
so, yeah, that's an interesting story. So, anyway, in late July, the Obama administration proposed new corporate average fuel economy rate rule of 54.5 miles per gallon by 2025, which means that they're expecting an increase in fuel efficiency of 5% annually for automotive vehicle for cars and 3.5% annually for light trucks for the first 5 years, and then 5% every 4 years after that until 2025. What that means is cars will be a lot smaller and a lot lighter.
And a lot more expensive.
And a lot more expensive. Yeah.
And
because they're going to have to pay for this technology. And they're
more
going,
dangerous.
I'm telling
if they're
you,
lighter and smaller.
Maybe. But if they, here's a combination of things. If they reduce some of the speed limits in order to accommodate for those smaller cars.
No thanks.
This place is going to start looking like Europe.
Yeah.
But the
no
thing
thanks.
Is, we have big families here. People need to drive Suburbans and so forth. But if you go to Europe, all these tiny cars, nobody drives a Suburban.
Are we doing any good on gas efficiency right now? Because it's we are. It's getting better.
Oh, much better. Okay.
But people aren't flocking to those fuel-efficient cars like they were a few years ago when gas first spiked up. And they were dumping out their Suburbans. Now people are buying Suburbans.
And here's the other thing. All the manufacturers came out and said, yeah, we stand behind this, but they really didn't have a lot of choice because the administration didn't give them a lot of choice. They said, either you're on board with this or you're not going to get some federal money you want.
Yeah.
So they all said, yeah, we're on board with it. But I can tell you, within the industry, everyone's extremely concerned because no one can imagine how you can build a car that'll get this kind of efficiency without having it cost $7,000 or $8,000 more for a little tiny car.
And then who can afford that?
Yeah. Right. So, back to Mexico, Volkswagen, at their plant in Puebla, Mexico, built more light vehicles through the first 6 months of 2011 than any North American assembly site. That's in Mexico building cars, folks.
Does that make you not want to own those cars?
Not at all.
It does a little bit with what's going on
in
Mexico.
Me.
I think that somebody ought to, you know, stop spending money on vehicles that are built in a place that it's causing so much violence.
That's Tammy Pickard.
Oh, well.
Hey,
business.
That's a solid opinion.
Yeah, it is.
You know.
Yeah.
So then in October, just as everybody in Japan are getting geared back up again, you have huge floods in Thailand.
Ugh.
Now, Thailand is not where the cars are built. It's where the parts are built.
Parts are. Mm-hmm.
So the floods close off the supply of parts. And even in North America, we see a slowdown in production. We're seeing plants idled because they couldn't get a part they needed to put the car together. A lot of the ECMs that go in a lot of cars
electronic
that they share.
Control them, module.
Exactly. The thing that's the brain for the car.
For the car. Mm-hmm.
They're built in Thailand, so they couldn't get them out. Some of them were damaged. So they stopped plants here. At one point in time, Ford could not get any black paint because the black paint, the dye, came from Thailand. We're all so interly dependent on each other now. But anyway, that slowed things down again. So as a result, a lot of the figures for the manufacturers this year aren't going to be as good as they might be just because they didn't have the materials to build cars. Like Honda's figures are way, way down for the year because they didn't have enough parts
not because
to build cars.
Couldn't have sold the cars. They didn't have the cars to sell.
Mm. Yeah. So I went to lunch with a general manager of a Honda store yesterday, and he said, we're just now starting to see enough cars to sell. It's just crazy.
Because they're moving them.
Oh, yeah, they sell them.
Yeah.
They just don't have them.
Hmm. There you go. Part of the year in review of the automotive business in 2011. Coming up next, hey, Congress has stepped in and said, we're tired of this ethanol thing, subsidy. We'll talk about that and more coming up here on the Saturday Morning Test Drive.
Autoplex, please, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
All right, Wally Lynn in for Sybil this morning. The phone number 877-881-1053. We've been talking a lot about texting and driving and New Year's Eve tonight, being careful. David, give that number again for that AAA service, because that's a pretty cool deal.
It is. 1-800-222-4357. That's 1-800-AAA-HELP. If you're within 10 miles of home, they will pick you and your car up and drop you off at your front door for nothing. There's a charge over 10 miles.
So you can still call them if you're 30 miles away. You just pay.
Hmm.
Let me
pretty cool service.
Call somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Call your friends. Call somebody to come get you.
Before we go too far, there's a couple of textures. One, is there a website or method to see how much my insurance will go up if I've had an accident and it's my fault? No, not that I know of, because they all are going to be different, and they all look at accidents differently.
How much that accident cost them.
It may be how many years you've been with them and not cost them anything that might help you out on that. If I were you, first of all, insurance.com is a good place to go because you can find all things insurance from there by doing searches. Secondly, call an agent. Ask mm-hmm. him, and he'll be able to tell you something.
They're more likely to drop you,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you cost them enough money.
Also, it looks like in January there's going to be a new law that's going to prohibit cell phone use if you're driving a commercial vehicle.
In the state of Texas.
In the state of Texas.
That's good. I thought that was already against them. But somebody else that works for one of the big, you know, box delivery companies, somebody mm-hmm. who probably brought a lot of Christmas presents to people, they're banned from having any cell device in use, and if they get caught the first time, they get written up. Second time, you lose your job.
Companies have to do that, though, to protect themselves. Because if you're driving around in a UPS truck and you're on a cell phone and you have a wreck, you're in big doo-doo.
Also protects us.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's vicarious liability at that point. You know, they're gonna go up the chain to who has the money mm-hmm. to sue them. Oh, well, you employed the driver, so there you go.
They're gonna be looking for Mr. Fed or Mr. X.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mr. Moneybags.
All right. So here's a news item this week that caught my attention that David actually brought to the fore. Congress is ending its corn ethanol subsidy. Now, explain this story, David, because this does have to do with ethanol fuel, which is, what, 10% of gas now these days?
It is. Yep. And the whole thing started when a couple of senators from the Corn Belt decided it would be a good idea to help out the corn farmers.
Hmm.
This was years ago, and this was in the 80s. And so they got some laws, they proposed some laws, and they got them passed where that ethanol could be added to automotive fuel. And that was the beginning. Now, as with all things government, it begins small and then grows.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's $6 billion a year annually that our government subsidizes the ethanol industry. $6 billion a year. We have spent roughly $45 billion doing this since its inception. What that means is that we give the ethanol industry 45 cents a gallon to mix ethanol in with gasoline,
mm-hmm.
the whole industry. It's over. Finally, it's over. The environmentalists have finally come around and said, you're right, it was dirty, it was stupid, it doesn't work. The adding ethanol to gasoline doesn't make your mileage better, it makes it worse by up to 25%. You actually burn more gasoline to get from point A to point B because it's mixed with ethanol, and mm-hmm. ethanol doesn't burn as hot as gasoline.
And
so now we're going to see all these gas stations. The 10% ethanol is going to go away.
I don't think so. Because there's also a mandate that says that you got to have so much ethanol and so much gasoline.
I just think that'll have to end first. $6 billion a year.
What has happened though is our ethanol industry has grown to a point that we export more ethanol than any other country in the world. So what's also happened is the price of everything we eat, everything we get that's transported by truck, everything is higher because of the ethanol subsidy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have been we've been altering a market, and it's not natural. I guess that's a good way to put it. So anyway, they have ended the subsidy, and they didn't actually vote to do it. All they had to do was nothing, because they had to renew the subsidy if it was going to be in effect.
So it just ran out.
So they just let it die.
Good.
And, for sure.
That's $6 billion more we can. Oh. Never mind. We don't have $6 billion to do anything.
Yeah, we don't have that.
$6 billion we can toss off the money we're going to beg for the next time it comes around.
Well, it's 42 cents a gallon.
1 hour of our debt.
Yeah, 1 hour.
Exactly. Well, we're borrowing 42 cents for every dollar we spend right now. We're borrowing 42 cents, so that's a whole lot less money we'll have to borrow.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about the United Auto Workers Union and what they're up to with Volkswagen and Mercedes, because I know this one got you hot under the collar, David.
Well, it did, because here's the thing. Unions have they served a fabulous purpose at one time, but I question now their effectiveness at all. And the unions have been losing membership, massive losses of membership over the last 10, 15 years. So now they're trying to unionize more plants, and of course the only ones left are the imports. So they are targeting German manufacturers because the unions see Germany, there's a lot of unions in Germany, so the unions see that as a more friendly kind of a relationship since the manufacturers over there already work with unions. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is there is a German union that is trying to help the UAW unionize here.
The American Union.
The UAW, because they're afraid that if we don't have unions here, we will be able to produce parts for less than they can in Germany, and then the European buyers that need these parts will buy them from the United States rather than from the Germans.
Okay.
So the Germans are trying to help the UAW unionize here to make our parts cost more to manufacture, so they will remain competitive.
Those Germans.
Are you saying the union drives up the cost of manufacturing?
Yeah, it certainly does.
Okay, dokie. I just wanted to make sure.
So there you go.
What you were
Germany
saying.
Is attacking us.
Well, no, they're
via
not. Well, yeah, in a way.
Yeah, essentially.
Well, it's business. You know, it's every man for himself. You got to think about surviving.
Mm-hmm.
The unions tried to unionize some transplants. They call them transplants. The foreign car manufacturers. They tried to unionize the Smyrna Nissan plant, the Smyrna, Tennessee Nissan plant.
Smyrna,
they came
Georgia.
Out. Ron Gettelfinger, who was the president of the union at the time, said, "We've got them. They're ours. We're all going to be happy together." And, of course, they didn't. The Nissan plant turned them down 2-1 for unionization because
they
just like they
that
said.
The union hasn't done anything for the members.
Yeah, they said, "You know what? We're making plenty of money. We don't have to worry about the union. And if we want to change stuff, we can actually change stuff."
And they remind the members that, you know, they're not putting jobs in areas where there's unions. The growth is happening where it's non-union states.
Yeah, the last $20,000 the last 20,000 jobs that were added to the United States automotive business were added in non-union states. There has not been one job added in a union state in years.
Mm.
So
interesting.
Yeah,
we got to get to this story because we only got about 3 minutes left here.
Go fast.
Kim Jong-il took his last ride in a Lincoln. So what's significant about this story here?
Well,
Tammy,
he hates us
David?
Capitalist pigs, right?
Yeah, you know, even though he ranted against the running dog capitalists. That's what they call us over there, and mm-hmm. they vilify us and all that. As he took his last ride, his casket sat atop a Lincoln limousine. There were three Lincoln Continental limousines in the procession, one with the Blessed Father, one with a giant wreath, and a follow-up car, and they were all 100% American.
That's
Lincoln
irony.
Continentals.
That's
it is
irony.
You know, they said that he had a collection of 20,000 Hollywood films that he just loved.
Mm-hmm.
That's
but
American.
we were still running dog capitalists. So
of course,
talk about money making.
So there you
Hollywood.
Go. Well, once again, a lot of talk today about texting. Be careful with that.
Just be safe behind the wheel. You know, treat your car with respect, and treat everybody else with the respect to not put them in a dangerous position.
Yeah, and I think, David, we should also remind people about the No Refusal Weekend, which begins at 6 o'clock tonight.
It does. No Refusal Weekend means that you can't say no. You either blow or they take your blood, and they take you to Lou Sterrett evidently to do that. So,
and one more thing about No Refusal Weekend. Stop by Autoflex. If you haven't been approved for a loan for a car yet, go by Autoflex today. Give them a call or stop in and get your no-refusal loan, because we can pretty well find a way
to get
anyone financed in a car.
So,
absolutely.
So you guys are open for business today.
Oh,
people
yes,
can go
we
to
are.
The Autoflex location, or you can call 817 or 972-234-1234.
And we'll be open on Monday as well.
You'll be open Monday? All mm-hmm. right. Well, you guys have fun tonight. Should
you
be
too.
A fun night.
Everybody be safe out there.
Yep. Everybody take care of business.
Tipsy toe,
that's another one to
designate
remember.
Designate a driver.
1-800-TRIPLE, what is it again?
1-800-AAA-HELP, 1-800-222-4357, or autoflex.com on your World Wide Web to see our fabulous pre-owned cars.
To read these stories, you can go to autoflex.com.
And click on the Facebook icon.
There you
go. And that'll take you right to them.
And all these things that we talked about today, fascinating topics. Guys, enjoyed it very much. Good to see you guys again.
You too,
Happy
Wally.
Holidays. Coming up next, we've got college football for you. As we count down 2011. See you later, year.
Happy.
I'm just skin in case I fall off my chair.